All right, brethren, let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. We'll begin in verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. We have a brother and a sister who have expressed a desire to be baptized. And so, Lord willing, we'll baptize one next Sunday, and then we'll baptize the other at the Danville Conference. So this morning I want to speak on the subject of Christ's water baptism. Christ's water baptism. By Christ's water baptism, he sets before us an example of obedience to God, which he commands every believer to obey. This is not something that is just extra. This is a command from God that we should obey as believers to be baptized, follow Christ in baptism. First of all, we can learn some things about baptism. We can learn about some of the errors that have come about concerning baptism and see that those errors are wrong. When we look at this first word here, it says, then cometh Jesus. Then cometh Jesus. Consider who this one is that was being baptized that day. This one who came to be baptized is the holy, sinless God-man. Christ had no sins to be forgiven. And therefore, this tells us baptism is not for the remission of sins. That's not what baptism is for. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter said, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Peter was not saying that by baptism, God forgives our sins. The word for means because of the forgiveness of sins. It's by Christ putting away the sin of his people that God forgives our sins. It's by Christ putting away the sins of his people. Christ said, This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. After regeneration, when God the Holy Spirit gives us faith, God the Holy Spirit bears witness in our hearts. And this is what he said, By one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost is a witness. He bears witness to us in our hearts that we've been perfected forever by Christ, by his one offering. And then God makes his everlasting covenant law in our hearts. And he says to us, Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And he says, Now where remission of these is, where forgiveness of these is, there's no more offering for sin. And so it's through God's gift of faith in Christ, through the blood of Christ, through the work of the Holy Spirit, that God forgives our sins. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission, forgiveness of sin. So Peter was saying, if you believe Christ, if you believe that he's put away your sins, if you believe the witness of the Holy Spirit that your sins have been forgiven through faith in Christ, then be baptized. That's what he was saying. All right, now by our Savior being baptized, we learn this as well. We learn that baptism is not for the washing away of sin. Christ knew no sin. He had no sin to wash away. When Ananias told Paul, he said, Be baptized and wash away thy sins. He was speaking of what baptism pictures. That's what he was speaking about. It's by Christ's blood that our sins are washed away, that our sins are purged. We're going to look at that a little more later. That's what we picture in believers' baptism. And also, by Christ being baptized, we see that water baptism is not for regeneration. This was the God-man. This is one who is whole, has the holy nature of God and the holy nature of man, and there was no death in him. There was no need of regeneration in him, yet he was baptized. Baptism is not for regeneration. Sinners are not regenerated by water baptism, but by the Holy Spirit. We regenerated through the hearing of the faithfulness of Christ when Christ himself speaks the word into our hearts. Listen to John 6:63. Christ said, "It's the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life." It's when the gospel's going forth and Christ speaks the word into our hearts that incorruptible seed enters in and a child of God is conceived within. This is the work of God. "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Not water baptism. That doesn't do it. And then lastly, by Christ, the faithful, being baptized, we see here that baptism is for believers. That's who baptism is for. It's for believers. Water baptism is obedience to God. Peter said baptism is not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. When Scripture speaks of a believer being baptized and all his house, folks read Scriptures like that and they think, well, if I'm baptized, that means I ought to bring all my children and baptize them, and even though they don't believe the gospel. When Scripture speaks of a believer and all his house being baptized, it's because God, through the gospel, gave faith to that believer, and he gave faith to everybody in that house. That's why they're being baptized. Listen to this Scripture in Acts 18:8. It says, "Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized." You see, that's why his house was baptized. They believed. God gave them faith. All right, so those are some errors about baptism that we see because of Christ himself being baptized. We see those errors are wrong. Now, secondly, Christ does show us how very important baptism is. Look at verse 13. It says, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan to be baptized of John. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he suffered him." Do you realize it was a 3 days walk? 3 days of solid walking from Galilee to Jordan. Now, for Christ to walk that far to be baptized, that in itself tells us baptism is important. Now, first of all, we see that water baptism is important because it shows that our hearts are humbled before God. It shows our hearts are humbled before God. This is God the Son. This is God we're talking about in human flesh right here. And he humbled himself to be baptized of John. To be baptized of John. God over all heaven. God over all the earth, the creator of all things. When he came into this world, that in itself is a condescension. He came to this cursed world. But when he came to this cursed world, he didn't come in flash and pomp and making himself of reputation. He came as an infant, born unto poor parents in poor conditions. And all through his life, he made himself of no reputation. If he would have done that, everybody would have followed him. Everybody wants to follow the rich and famous. But he didn't make himself of reputation. Even when he went to the cross and ended his earthly ministry, he ended it hanging stripped naked, bloody, beaten, unrecognizable. And so it was at the beginning of his earthly ministry. He began his earthly ministry by being baptized by a sinner in a muddy river. Now that's low. He came down. Listen to the Scripture. "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, God in glory, the owner of all things. Yet for your sakes, for the sake of those he loved from everlasting, he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be rich. You know, the first thing God's going to require for a sinner is he's going to require that sinner to come down. We're high, we're mighty, we're proud, we think we're somebody. We got to be stripped of that. We got to be stripped of this haughtiness. We got to be stripped of what we think is righteousness and goodness. We've got to be brought down to the dust to see that we're nothing but sinners worthy of hell. Not only do we not deserve the grace of God, we're ill-deserving of the grace of God. We've done everything to prevent the grace of God. We deserve hell. We have nothing to be proud of. Nothing. I wish we could understand that. This is how it is from the moment you wake up in the morning to the moment you lay your head on the pillow at night, all through the night while you're sleeping. You're sinning against God. That's what the natural heart is. And if you meet God in this state, you're going to hell for eternity. You must, because God is just. So we have to be brought down. The true baptism is a confession of a broken and contrite heart. A heart that's been broken by God, made contrite by God. And the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, that will not despise. Christ said, come unto me and learn of me. I'm meek and I'm lowly of heart, and you'll find rest unto your soul. Come down. Come down to the meek one. Come down to the lowly one. And Christ will teach you and he'll give you rest in your heart. And also, water baptism is important because it's the will of God. It's the will of God given to every child of God to obey. When Christ says here in our text, he says, it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. When he says that, his righteousness means this is the will of God. This is what's right. This is God's will. The preeminent Son of God submitted as the servant of God, as the representative of his people. He submitted to God and obeyed God's will in everything he did while he walked this earth. And he shows us here in water baptism. That's exactly what he was doing. John protested about baptizing him because John knew he was a sinner. John knew he needed God's grace. John knew he needed Christ to do everything for him. But when Christ explained to him that this is the will of God, he submitted to God by submitting to Christ, who is God. And that's what a new heart, a heart of faith will do. It's submitting to God, obeying the will of God. Water baptism is important because anything that God wills for his child is also the worship of God. That's right, it's the worship of God. Water baptism is worshiping God. Christ Jesus didn't let a long walk. He didn't let humility. He didn't let John's protest stop him from worshiping God. He came and he worshiped God in water baptism. Now, a worldly man, you think of this, a worldly man hardly let anything come between him and his job. Nothing. He's gonna be at that job. Gonna be at that job. If their employment dries up, they'll move clear across the country and to another job. Not even think twice about it. When they get there, they'll settle in that new job, and then after a while, they'll look for a church if they're religious. But you know, the believer won't let anything come between him and the worship of God. The believer will, he'll move clear across the country to worship God. And he'll drive long distances, if he has to, during the week to worship God. If the believer's employment dries up, what he'll do is he'll take out a directory of where the churches are, and he'll try to find where a faithful church is, a city where there's a faithful church, and then see if he can find a job in that city. That's what a believer will do. This is the difference grace makes. We didn't make this difference. This is the difference grace makes. It's the difference between having Christ as your life and this world as your life. And Christ knew who life is. He knew God is life. He came here to serve God for his people as the perfect man, and he worshiped God, letting nothing come between him and God. We are to follow him in that, in all ways. And those who claim they believe God and refuse water baptism, they claim they believe God, they worship God, but they refuse to follow Christ and believe his baptism, it's evident of a heart that hadn't been broken. It's evident that they refuse to obey God. They won't submit to the will of God. And it's evident that they do not worship God. That's true. Now here's thirdly. Christ shows us what water baptism pictures. And he shows us what we're confessing in water baptism. Look at verse 15. Jesus said, Thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Now, John did what was right on this occasion. And that's what righteousness means, that which is right. John did that which was right on this occasion when he baptized the Lord. But John didn't fulfill all righteousness. Only Christ fulfills all righteousness. So, why did the Lord include John when he said, thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness? Why did he include John when he said that? Christ declares here that John, just like all God's elect, John and all God's elect are in Christ when Christ served God in this earth. When Christ fulfilled all righteousness, all God's elect fulfilled all righteousness in him. As the representative of his people. Now think about this. Even when Christ went through water baptism, he did that in perfect righteousness, and every one of his people were baptized in water in perfect righteousness in Christ when he was baptized in water. Next week, Kevin and I will go down into that pool at their house, and we won't go through that ordinance in perfect righteousness. I'm going to be sinning, and Kevin will be sinning the whole time. But in Christ, he and I both have gone through that ordinance in perfect righteousness and fulfilled it in perfect righteousness in Christ Jesus. The fact of the matter is, that's true with every bit of our worship of God. It's true when we observe the Lord's Supper. It's true when we're sitting here, you're hearing the gospel and I'm preaching the gospel. It's true when we pray. There's sin mixed with all of that. But we do it perfectly because we did it perfectly in Christ Jesus. He's our righteousness of it. Christ is our righteousness in everything, in all things. When Christ obeyed every precept of the law, when he walked this earth, his people observed every precept of the law in him. That's why the scriptures say Christ is the end of the law for the believer, because Christ is the righteousness of the law. The one we're believing on. That's why we're believing on him. Because we need a righteousness. And Christ is the righteousness of the law. We believe on him. This is one of the things we believe concerning him. He's all our righteousness. Now a sinner, a believer, ought never break the commandments of God. But we don't look to the commandments of God for righteousness or for sanctification. We look to Christ alone. He's our righteousness and our sanctification. When Christ served God and his brethren in perfect faith, his people served God and our brethren in perfect faith in him. You know, through faith we receive the righteousness of Christ. But we not only receive the righteousness of Christ through faith, Christ is the righteousness of our faith. Because sin's mixed with our faith. If it was just our faith standing on its own, it would be worthless because sin's mixed with it. Christ is the righteousness of our faith. He makes our faith acceptable to God. But what about our sins? There's sins in all we do. What about our sins? Christ took our sins too. Christ took all our sins before we were converted. He took all of our sins that we've committed since we've been converted. All of our sins we committed in baptism, in the worship of God, in observance of the Lord's table, in praying. All our sins we committed at night when we're sleeping. He took all our sins from conception until the end of our days. He took all our sins. known and unknown. And here's the work of Christ on the cross. This is what we see in His baptism, what He was picturing by His water baptism. Look at verse 16. Jesus, when He was baptized. There's two parts to it. Here's the first part. Jesus, when He was baptized. This word baptized means immersed. It means immersion. It's not a translation of the word. The word simply means baptizo. It means immersion. The Greek word was used whenever they would dye a piece of cloth. They would take a piece of cloth and they would baptize that piece of cloth. And when it came up out of the dye, it would be the color of the dye. Now you imagine somebody, if they went to the launderer and they said, I want this baptized cloth. I want this cloth baptized in red dye, purple dye. And they get back and they get their piece of cloth and it's got little sprinkled dots all over it. They wouldn't be very happy. Why? It wasn't baptized. It was sprinkled. There's a difference. But the reason that we immerse is greater than just semantics. It's greater than just meanings of words. It's because having been made sin for us, God baptized, He immersed Christ in our death when He was made sin for us. And then, having been made sin for us, He immersed our Lord in the judgment and the wrath of God. And then He immersed Christ in those sufferings of that second death, that eternal death that is the wages of sin, as He hung there living on the cross. He was immersed in that pain and suffering of that eternal death. And then He was immersed in physical death. And then He was immersed in the grave. Look at Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Long after Christ was baptized in water, Christ made this statement. He said, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? That's this baptism. This is what He was talking about right here. This, when we are immersed in water baptism, we're confessing that when Christ was immersed into that death, our old man of sin was baptized into that death in Him. Look here in Romans 6, verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized, the word should be unto Jesus Christ, were baptized unto His death. Therefore, the picture we show is we're buried with Him by baptism into death. That's what we show by baptism, that we're buried with Him into death. When we're immersed under the water, we're picturing our death and our burial when Christ was immersed in the death, in our death, in the judgment, the sin, the judgment, the eternal death, the physical death, the grave, those deaths that He bore. We're picturing we were buried. Look here, this is what we're confessing. Romans 6:6. Know this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that's dead is freed from sin. That's the eternal death that the law demands of the lawbreaker. That's what we would have borne if Christ hadn't borne it for us. But by Christ being immersed into that death for us, now, brethren, our old man of sin has been crucified with Christ. Our old man of sin has been destroyed and it's been buried. It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. And that's why he says here that we will not serve sin. It's not saying here we ought not to serve sin. He's saying this is why you cannot. It's an impossibility for a believer to serve sin. Now understand what I'm saying. You see your sin and your sin makes you mourn and weep and call yourself everything under the sun. But before God, before the law of God, that man you're weeping over, get some joy from this, believer. That man you're weeping over is gone. He's been crucified. He's been destroyed. He's been buried. He don't exist before God. So you can't serve sin before God, before the law. It's impossible. He that's dead is freed from sin. Now that's the truth, friend. That's our joy. Otherwise, when we fall into sin and we see the corruption that we are, we just perish. We just fall away in unbelief. But knowing this, brethren, read that bulletin in the that article in the bulletin at Brother Bruce Crabtree where, yes, we see our sin, but we see grace abounding over our sin. Grace abounded over our sin. All right, now look here. Then our text says, he went up straightway out of the water. He went up straightway out of the water. This is the second part. All right, stay there in Romans 6. When we come up out of the water, this is what we're confessing. This is what we're picturing. Verse 4. Verse 4. The second part there says that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Again, this is not a should, not a maybe. This is a certainty. We've been raised. We're going to walk in newness of life. He says here, verse 5, for if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, that's what we pictured going under the water, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. That's what we pictured coming out of the water. But here's the reality, verse 9. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over Him, for in that He died unto sin once, but in that He liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. When we come up out of that water, we're confessing that when Christ came out of that water, when He came out of that grave, out of those depths, our new man came up out of that grave with Him. When He came up a new man, we came up a new man. He's raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And we're confessing that by the Holy Spirit, He's created a new man within us, and Christ now abides in us. In the life we live now, we live by the faith of Christ Jesus the Lord, who loved us and gave Himself for it. We're new creatures. That's what we're confessing. Peter compared baptism to the waters of Noah. And when that ark came up out of those waters, Noah came up out of those waters. That ark wasn't floating up on the water like a big yacht like people picture. That ark was like a submarine. That ark was under the water, surrounded by the waters. And when it came up out of that water, he came up out of that water. And when he was delivered to the new world, it was a new life, a new world. Everything was new. Old things were passed away. All things became new. That's what we're saying in believer's baptism, because of what Christ has accomplished. Old things are passed away. Everything's become new. We're new creatures. We died to sin, now we live to God. We were the servants of sin, now we're the servants of righteousness. And then here's another thing I want you to see. This is important too. Back in our text, by water baptism, we're confessing that our salvation. Now listen to this carefully. By water baptism, we're confessing that our salvation is the work of the triune God in Christ. We're confessing that we're saved by the Lord alone. Now, do you remember at Christ's ascension? I'm not talking about when He came out of the grave. I'm talking about at His ascension. You remember at His ascension, the heavens open. And Christ the God-man glorified in the Holy Spirit arose. The Holy Spirit upon him a glorified man who is God, arose. And by that God testified, God declared, this is my Son, and I'm pleased in Him. He satisfied the law. He's just, and He's made me just and the justifier. And I'm satisfied with my people in Him. That's what was being declared there. Well, when Christ was baptized in water, He pictured His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And likewise, God gave a foreshadowing of that glorification of His ascension. And look here now. It's called the faith of the operation of God who hath raised Him from the dead. That's what it's called. It was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit all involved in that when He arose. It was the faith of the operation of God that raised Christ from the dead. And that faithful operation of God was a meeting of all the three persons of the Godhead. It was declaring salvation is of the Lord. Purposed by God the Father, purchased and performed by God the Son and administered by God the Holy Spirit. And so at water baptism, after Christ pictured the death, burial, and resurrection, God gave this foreshadowing of that very thing, declaring the same thing. Salvation is of the Lord, of the triune God. Look at verse 16. Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. There's a picture of his ascension. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. There's the Holy Spirit of God. You got God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. He was raised a glorified God-man. And it says, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. That's what God declared when he raised Christ into heaven. Now this is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so when a believer comes up out of the waters of baptism, we're confessing that we believe that our salvation and our acceptance in heaven with God is in the Beloved, in Christ, by the faithful operation of God the Father, who elected us, who ordained us before the foundation of the world, who predestinated us into the adoption, of God the Son, who redeemed us, fulfilled all righteousness for us, of God the Holy Spirit, who quickened us and made us alive and gave us faith and keeps us all our days as he one day raises us to glory with him. We're confessing that salvation is of the Lord. It's by the faithful operation of the triune God in Christ Jesus. And that's what true water baptism is. And it's showing that we don't have a thing to do with it in any degree. Not in the least degree. We don't have a thing in the world to do with our salvation. All we did was sin. Now, let me say three things to you in closing. If God's called you so that you believe Christ, so that you believe salvation is of the Lord, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, if you are a sinner that had nothing to do with it and shall never have anything to do with your salvation, it's all of God by Christ Jesus, then confess him in believer's baptism. It's not an option. It's a command of God. And if you've been born of him and you know him in truth, you will want to be baptized of him. He makes you willing. He makes you want to. You want to. I'm sure of that. And then secondly, baptism is only done once. It's only done one time. It can only be done once in truth. But hear what I'm saying. If you were baptized, but you didn't know Christ, you didn't believe on Christ, you didn't believe salvation is of the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You were baptized thinking you were contributing to your salvation, that what you're doing is going to help and give you a leg up with God. You weren't baptized. You weren't baptized. You just went through the motions. If you were sprinkled, you weren't baptized. If you were dedicated when you were a child, you weren't baptized. And since then, if God's given you faith and he's given you a heart, and you believe Christ, follow Christ in believer's baptism. You should. You should. And again, you will if he's done that. You'll be willing to. And then thirdly, if you don't believe on Christ, wait on the Lord. Don't make a profession of faith that's false. Ever. Avoid that at all costs. So be careful. Be sure that God's called you. And then confess him. You'll know when he's called you. You'll know. But don't make a false profession. And when we baptize these brethren, I hope that, Lord willing, I hope that gives you an understanding of what they're confessing. Show you a little bit more about what they're confessing. And this is a very serious, important ordinance. Amen. Let's stand together, brethren. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for showing us that the things that you call on us to do, you've already fulfilled them in righteousness, so that we can trust that in spite of all our failures and our sin, we have an everlasting, perfect righteousness established in Christ. Thank you for that, Father. Thank you for giving your Son. Thank you for giving us an understanding, for giving us a heart willing to submit to you, to obey you, to believe God and to believe Christ and to be baptized and confessing these things. Lord, help these that are going to be baptized, that you would keep them and grow them, and as they see their sins more and more and wonder if they ever really knew you, wonder if they really believed you when they were baptized, give them a heart to rest in Christ. And Lord, these that were baptized in a manner where they did it without faith, give them a heart to truly want to seek you. If they're yours, call them by your grace. Make them willing by your grace. We ask it for your glory and honor in Christ's name. Amen.